curse God and die. Question God and die. Listen to God and live. Job, in many ways, is an archetype, a prototype of each of us as a Christian. And I'd like to look at that book through the eyes of verse 5 and 6, which we just heard read. Let me read them again. Job speaking, "I have heard about you with my ears, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. That's why I take back what I have said. And I sit in dust and ashes to show that I am sorry." This morning we want to look at a right relationship with God. What is repentance? What is righteousness? The book of Job starts out with saying that Job was a righteous man, a man of integrity, one who stayed away from evil. He was well off. He had 7 sons, he had 3 daughters, he had 1,000 oxen, 500 donkeys, 3,000 camels, 7,000 sheep. He had many servants. And it's interesting to see that he prayed regularly for his family, particularly for his children. Then there comes the action and reflection model at work throughout the book of Job. The first action: one day all of his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his camels, and his children are destroyed. Job reflects. He reacts. He said, "Naked I came into the world, naked I'll go out. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." A second action: painful boils cover Job's body. The reflection and the reaction of his wife: curse God and die. Job's reflection, his reaction: wife, we accepted the good that God gave us. Shouldn't we accept the bad? The third action: the friends, the 3 friends come to see Job. They sit there with him in total silence for 7 days and 7 nights. They don't speak. They wait for him to speak. Then comes the reflection, the reaction. Job, in great pain, says, "Curse the day I was born. God, why did you even bring me into this world?" And then steps forward his friend Eliphaz from Teman. And in essence, he says to Job, "You know, only wicked people suffer. God will correct you, and be prepared to present your case before God." Job's reflection, Job's reaction. Eliphaz, "God has attacked me without a cause. You're not a true friend to me to say that I'm wicked and I'm suffering because of wickedness. Eliphaz, you and your friend, just leave me alone." Then comes the fifth action: Bildad of Shunah, the second friend, steps forward. And in essence, he says, "Job, you are unjustly accusing God. God doesn't punish innocent people, Job. You must be guilty." And the reflection and the reaction of Job: "No, Bildad, God does punish innocent people. And I'll tell you, I hate the trap that I'm in. I want to die. Even if I am righteous, I don't even dare lift up my head. Not only is God punishing me, but you, my friends, don't believe me either." And then the sixth action and reflection: Zophar of Naamah, the third friend, steps forward and he says, "You, Job, as a human being, don't have the wisdom to say that you are righteous? Don't you know that God's wisdom is much, much higher than the wisdom of man? And finally, the same refrain, you are a sinner, Job, confess your sins. The reflection, the reaction of Job. You people don't even understand what my suffering is like. If you had these boils, if you'd lost your children and everything like I have, you'd understand. Zophar, please admit that God is mistreating me. I will defend myself. I will justify my life and my actions right before God's face. But friends, God won't even listen to me. He won't even listen to me. And then there's action 7. The three friends who'd been silent for 7 days and 7 nights fall back into silence. Total silence again. And the text says why they fell into silence. It was because Job thought that he was righteous. Job thought he was righteous. Then a young man. Finally, a fourth man. In action 8, Elihu steps forward, much younger. And he has these things to say to Job. Job, you really do think that you're more righteous than God, don't you? Don't you know, Job, God doesn't have to answer you at all? Don't you realize, Job, that it's unthinkable that the God who created the whole world and made it the way he wanted could do any evil? Job, don't you realize that God is actually utterly fair and utterly just? And Job, a truly righteous person, just doesn't question or argue, but he listens and he serves. Besides that, Job, God does not respect or approve those people who think that they are righteous on their own or that they are wise. Rather, God sends trouble. He sends suffering. He sends discipline or re-discipling. That's what the word discipline really means, re-discipling to you. He's discipling you through this thing. And the reflection of Job, if you'll remember, was total silence. Finally, he was ready to listen. And on the basis of that reflection, God comes into the picture, action 8. God now speaks. Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Are you able to control the sea in the coming of the morning? Can you bring all the constellation of stars out at night? Can you really find fault with God and correct the Creator? Do you really want to change the standards of justice that God has set up for the good of the world and even for your own benefit, Job? Don't you know that everything under heaven really belongs to me? And then we get to our text for the reflection of Job and the reaction of Job after he'd heard those three chapters that God had spoken. And he says, God, I know you can do everything. I know your plans are unstoppable. And then these words of our text. I've heard about you with my own ears, but now I've seen you with my own eyes. I've suffered the storm and the drung, the affliction, and the suffering, the testing of life. That's why I'm now ready to take back all the things that I have said. I'm ready to be quiet, Lord. I'll sit in sackcloth and ashes to show that I am sorry. I'm ready, Lord, to repent. And finally, the book of Job teaches us, as future pastors, as fellow Christians, what it says in Hebrews 12, verse 6, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourgeth every son whom he receives. He continues to disciple us. to discipline us, to make us loyal students and followers of himself. So the conclusion, repentance is the way to righteousness. Not our righteousness. Yes, Job was righteous, but he was only righteous from a man's point of view. But it has to be God's righteousness. God's righteousness in the cross of Jesus Christ. God's righteousness received as we are baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so with that then, we take out our LW, we turn to page 136, and we very well say the words that Job said and that we daily say, and that Luther said we should every day renew our baptismal vow, and here it is. Let's say these words together at the bottom of the page. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your punishment now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon then your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce that wonderful grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.